I was struggling to log in, so I had to call IT Parliament so that they can fix my password. I'm sure, but now we're fine. We can start. Honorable Malika lost her Saturday, so it's just a sad day for us. But now what she's doing, she's preparing to go back home, so she won't be part of the panel today. I declare this meeting officially open so that we can start with our first candidate. Are you ready? Right? Oh, you're waiting for Honorable Bacher's letter so that he can also be able to log in. I'm hoping that all other members, their gadgets are fine. Yeah, you're correct. Okay. Honorable Masiko.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and greetings to your good self and the honorable members. Chairperson, I'm looking at the element of time. And I know that by 12 o'clock there is a meeting of the NCLP. Out of the candidates that we are having, we have one candidate from the Eastern Cape. I would propose that we probably start with the candidate from the Eastern Cape. And if by 12 o'clock we have not completed the agenda, and then we continue with the rest of the other candidates when the agenda from the NCOP, because all the other candidates are from Gauteng. It's a proposal that I would request the subcommittee to consider. Thank you.
Okay,
is
that
candidate
from Gauteng?
Check and if you guys are the subcommittee.
Is the candidate from Eastern Cape here already?
I think the other thing that we need to do is the one of the candidates yesterday was supposed to have been here at 12. That candidate is from KZN, and the candidate our sub members tried to communicate with him. I don't know whether he's a he or a she, but they tried to communicate with him yesterday. His phones were off, or their phones were off, until later the travel agency informed our staff members
Okay, one of the dates was supposed to have been interviewed around 1. I didn't travel from to Gauteng. The traveling arrangements were made, and we were informed by the travel agency that they've cancelled the ticket because the person did not go to the airport. Our staff members have been trying to call the candidate, and the candidate was answering yesterday. But later on, our staff members received an email from that candidate, and the candidate was saying, I don't know whether he was having problem or an emergency or what, but the issue is that person was supposed to have communicated with our staff members in the morning so that they can be able to change the flight. Because we make arrangements for all of them to travel to our venue. So if a person does not communicate and tell us that they've been challenged, that means that money, then it will like a fruitless expenditure. So I'm not sure how much we deal with it, because the candidate was supposed to have been interviewed yesterday. That's why I'm throwing it to yourself so that we can guide on how do we deal with that candidate.
I guess that if we cannot get him or nothing we can do. Can go back to
No, those arrangements were made by our staff members. Arrangements for my country to move from point A to point B were made. Because those who were staying very far from the farms or villages, arrangement was made that they need to go and sleep nearer to where they can access easy transport, easy to go to the airport. So they were booked in to sleep in Durban, so that they can, in the morning they can fly to Joburg. So I'm not sure. I don't know how much we deal with, but maybe you can assist them, Honourable MPT.
Thanks, Chair. Just on a point of clarity, you had said that the candidate had communicated to our team who are supporting us in this interview process. What was that communication? Can it be tabled so that we can hear exactly what it is? Chair, just to repeat what I was trying to say, because there was a bit of feedback with the sound, was to say that can that communication of the candidate be tabled to the committee so that we can make a considered approach? Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I'm saying that I would like the communication from that candidate to be tabled to the committee so we can make a considered approach. Thank you. All right. Can you hear me now, Chair? Thank you, Chair. My point was to say that you had mentioned the candidate in question had sent some communication to the team that is supporting the subcommittee to conduct these interviews. Is it possible for that communication to be tabled to the committee so that we can make a consideration? Because I do think that there were many young people that wanted to be part of this process and who were not given an opportunity to be part of it. And to have a candidate who is now not able to even attend the interview process without a clear understanding of what their reasons or justifications were, I think, you know, puts us in a very compromised position. So can we understand what was the reason the candidate was not able to attend the interview yesterday? Thank you.
The only challenge that we're having is the sound for now. We're fine now. Oh, okay. Okay, you are proposing that our staff members must tell us what did the candidate say? That's what you are saying? Okay. For the record, yeah, the email that is it a she or a he? Oh, okay.
Good morning, honorable members.
Oh, okay. Yeah, may you please mute your microphones, ne? Because one of the things that they are saying it sounds super bad is because I'm a mic so we know are on. That's why. I'm muting. I'm a mic. I'm off the phone, off my care collapse. We'll laptop here. Yeah. Mute you. Okay.
Now
okay, you're off. It's fine now. Okay. Oh, okay. Send what? Aish. Hey, Nazona, touch this card. Ugo phone danje email gun tata 1 hour. That's my name. No, what's Zuki? Gun tata.
Thank you, Chair.
Zuki.
With this level of unprofessionalism, the candidate has automatically disqualified the firm. If she had an interest of attending the interviews and she had a valid reason of not coming to the interviews, she was going to clearly state that she was unable to attend the interviews due to the following reasons, and give the committee the necessary respect that it deserves. There was a time allocated for the candidate to come to the interview. She was booked for using public finances to attend the interview. She did not attend the interview. So for me, she has disqualified herself. She has not given reasons why she has not attended the interview. So for me, it's a case that she has resolved on her own. And I don't think, Chairperson, according to the program that we are having, that we will have the time to even slot her in and give her the slot should she even attend afterwards. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chairperson, Nazar? Giving a little share. No, I'm going to go to the honorable. Angibona sibo yasithi simnikeza elinye ithuba.
So we
sorry, Chef, although kubuhlungu kwaphela kukhona ekufana ngabe bafikile. Kodwa ke if ma inkinga kungavele ivelele manje ngale member enyade sinayo, kwavuka manje kuthiwa ukuthi sekukhona ongasasekho. Ngenzeka nayo khona inkinga ngempela emvelele.
But the issue now is that after Istaff Center communicated with her through an email yesterday, she was supposed to have responded and tell the staff what is the problem, and is she still coming or what, but she never did that yesterday. So today is another day, and now it's 11:39. She hasn't sent any response to the staff to say, I had a challenge, this is my challenge, but I will request that the committee consider me. But I also apologize because we spent money for cancellation of bookings, is also money. So even if she was going to come today, she was going to use her own transport. We were not going to rebook for her because she didn't. She was not, yesterday she was supposed to have touched base with our officials, our staff members. So, okay, let's continue. Let's call our first candidate. You must put it on. Now, SMS is what? Are your videos on now? Your video is off. Good morning, Mr. Makaza. And how are you this morning? I'm getting there. I'm trying. One of our members lost her sister today. And she was part of the panel. So she had to leave and drive back home to Mpumalanga. Yeah, it's just sad news that she received today in the morning. My name is Nonhlanhla Ncube Ndaba. I'm the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities. I'm co-chairing with the Honorable Gillion, the chairperson of the Select Committee on Health and Social Services in the NCOP. I will now hand over to honorable members to introduce themselves. Over to you, Honorable Maluleka.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, Mr. Magaza. My name is Buitumelo Maluleka, member of this committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and good morning, Mr. Magaza. I'm Teliso Mgweba, a member of this subcommittee.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Elegant Chabele. I belong to this committee. So.
Good morning, Chairperson and our member. Honorable members. Now, Sonisha Makale, I come along with Bongle Kaula, member of the
committee.
Masbuli Samsegas, I come on Bule Lopaha, Ulilung with the committee.
Honorable.
Thank you, Chairperson. And good morning, Mr. Makasa. Malam, Sibile Masivo,
Ilunga
Lekomiti. And good morning, Mr. Makasa. Malam, Sibile Masivo, Ilunga Lekomiti.
Honorable Mpiti.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Louis Roland Mpiti, and I'm a member of this committee.
Thank you very much, honorable members. I will request that all members must log in and switch on their videos. And when somebody is speaking, I will request that all honorable members to mute their mics so that the sound can be better. I will request that we limit movements because it doesn't look professional, you know, and especially when the candidate is in and when there are a lot of movements, it looks very clumsy and unprofessional. So I will also request that members, when there's a candidate already seated here, members must please try, even if you want to go to the loo, please try your level best to sit down because tomorrow I don't want us to be questioned unnecessary. So that we respect each and every candidate that is in. And now then, even our staff members, you must try that when you make your movements, you go and clean those mics immediately after a candidate. so that you don't disturb a candidate. When the candidate is already there, then you start cleaning the mics. It's not right. So, and hopefully, Neliswa, you are recording as we have agreed. Next to Mr. Honorable Mpiti is Dr. Tembe, our legal person from Parliament. And at the back there, we have Ms. Jiba, Nomvula Jiba. She's the committee manager in the committee section. And then the lady sitting next to Nomvula Jiba is Neliswa Nobatana, our committee secretary. And the lady who was cleaning those mics is Ms. Uzuki France. She's one of the coordinators in the select committee, Health and Social Services in the NCOP. Our chairperson, Honorable Gillian, she's not here physically, but she's on visual, a platform. So you are going to see her in your gadget today. I think Uzuki have shown you which one when we start talking, where is your mic, so that you can unmute and start responding to the questions from honorable members. If you don't understand the question, you are free to ask the member to repeat the question again. You are going to get follow-ups from other members, even if the question was not raised by that member. And then at the end of the interview, you will, if you have something to raise with us, you want to ask anything, you can ask us, for as long as you are not asking something that is impossible. We wish you good luck. Yeah, and relax, feel free. If you feel uskidia shy kakhulu, put some mans. Yeah, and relax and make yourself comfortable. It's just an interview and it's normal. You know, especially when you're the first candidate, it's always the case that you are not sure, what is it that they are going to ask me? Yeah, thank you very much, Honorable Makaza. The first question is, tell us about yourself. Who are you? Where are you coming from? How many people you have killed? And why have you applied for this post? And why do you think you're a suitable candidate to be appointed to serve in the board of NYDA? Obviously, that one with how many people you have killed, it's on the lighter note. Just to make you comfortable, okay. Okay, over to you. You've got 45 minutes with us, ne?
All right, sir.
Okay.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson, and good afternoon to yourself as well as members of the committee. And thanks for the opportunity to speak to you as part of this interview. Now, by way of introduction, as you've clearly captured, I'm Siyabonga Magadla, born and bred in Butterworth in the Eastern Cape, in a small village called Jotwen. I did my primary schooling in the Eastern Cape, secondary schooling in the Eastern Cape, until I matriculated in 2001, where after I then went to the then PE Technicon, which is now Nelson Mandela Metro, to pursue studies in a national diploma in journalism and media studies. And subsequent to that, I then came to Gauteng, where I furthered my studies with the Tshwane University of Technology, where I did a BTech in journalism as well as media. Having felt the need to diversify in terms of my academic qualifications, I then enrolled for a bachelor's degree in government administration as well as development with the University of South Africa, which I successfully completed. And I'm currently enrolled for an honors degree in development studies with the University of South Africa. That's in terms of my academic background, Chair. But in the process of that, I've been able to collect a number of certificates, including a certificate in business communication from UNISBA, as well as a certificate in branding and marketing management from the Vega School of Business and Branding. Now, that was part of me acquainting myself with a number of development aspects, business communication, amongst others, because I'm very passionate about this. Now, in terms of my work background, I've always worked in the youth sector, I must indicate. So in 2007, I was employed at the then National Youth Commission in the communications environment, undertaking a variety of roles until 2009, when the National Youth Commission then merged with Umsobomvu Youth Fund to form the National Youth Development Agency. And so I continued to play a variety of roles within the National Youth Development Agency, including a senior manager, marketing, and as well as branding, as well as a spokesperson for the organization. I also chaired a committee that dealt with sponsorships as well as donations, which was a committee of the board as well. I then decided to leave full-time employment in 2015, where I wanted to go and pursue my own business interest, which is something that I've always wanted to do. But the reality of a young person, black in South Africa, do not all courage all the opportunities to go into business. But in 2015, I took the courage to leave full-time employment to go and pursue my own business interest. And therefore, as I'm sitting here, I am a businessman with business interests, including media, transport, as well as real estate, which is property, but at a small scale, obviously with the opportunity to scale up conditions allowing. Now, why do I think that I am one of the best candidates to be on the board of the National Youth Development Agency? I think first, Chair, me being in business, running my own company, has further exposed me to the importance of corporate governance. And I've therefore acquainted myself with some of the prescripts that seem to guide or advise in terms of how successful companies are then operated and function. And therefore, I've acquainted myself with the King Report, for instance, amongst other prescripts, which prescribes a number of principles in terms of good, part of which is transparency, accountability, accessibility, ethical leadership, effective leadership, and all of these really seek to achieve a number of governance outcomes, which is ethical culture in the organization, good performance, which is important in the organization, effective control, as well as legitimacy, which is very important in any organization, institution, or company, because you do not exist for the sole purpose of your own business. You've got stakeholders that you work with, and legitimacy is very important. I think those are some of the qualities and values that I will bring to the board of the National Youth Development Agency.
Oh,
That was quick. Okay.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and greetings once again, Mr. Makaza. I see that you have extensive experience in the sphere of youth development, especially working with the National Youth Development Agency. And I'm sure that over time you have picked up that there is general perception amongst young people and South Africans that the National Youth Development Agency serves a certain cohort of young people, and specifically those that are generally affiliated to a certain political party. In your work that you've been doing, specifically as a communication related aspect, what have you done to change that perception? And if you are appointed as a board member in the National Youth Development Agency, what would you do further to ensure that the face of all the perception that young people have of the National Youth Development Agency actually changes in terms of it being an agency that only serves a specific cohort of young people? Thank you, Chair.
All right. Thank you very much, Chair. I think I would have made an omission if I did not mention that I also serve as an NEC member of the South African Youth Council, which is an umbrella body for youth formations in the country, whose affiliation is drawn from a variety of organizations, including youth in faith-based organizations, youth in sports, arts and culture, young people in business, as well as chambers. I also serve in the South African Youth Chamber of Commerce and Industry. And those are the two organizations that also made my nomination. Now, Chair, one of the things that we've sought to ensure as part of these institutions has been that when the NYDA undertakes its programs, we mobilize and ensure that all young people across the sectors of society are able to participate in the activities of the National Youth Development Agency. And indeed, I must admit, Chair, that there has been that perception even when I was still at the agency before I left in 2015. And I think the perception really has been informed by how the agency started its operation. There was a prevalent existence, really, of a relationship between those deployed in the political structures of the ruling party in terms of the Youth League, as well as those deployed in the board of the National Youth Development Agency. So that perception developed as a result of that. But then again, I think in terms of communication, we sought to clarify the fact that all young people, irregardless of their background, where they come from, as long as they've got the necessary competence, as long as they fit within the criteria that is stipulated, they all have a role and a responsibility to play in the development of the lives of young people. As long as they are able to satisfy those that they account to in terms of their ability to undertake the work that is entrusted upon them. And Chair, I think it's a perception that continues to dodge the National Youth Development Agency. And I think also it's an opportunity for the committee, by the way, because as part of this process also, we've seen a number of complaints on social media and other platforms that has continued to raise such concerns. So I think it's incumbent now upon the committee as well, to ensure that as and when it recommends and appoints members of the board is representative of all people at their sectors of the economy. Young people in business must be represented, Chair. Young people in civil society must be represented in the board, such that they are able to carry the aspirations of young people from the sectors of society that they represent. In terms of communication, Chair, integrity is very important in an organization. You must be able to say that which you are able to do and that which you are not able to do. Because if you say what is not consistent to how you act, then you've lost credibility and integrity. So that which you do must always be consistent with what you say, and you will gain the legitimacy and the credibility of your stakeholders, whether it's young people or members of parliament or private sector organizations that you ought to work with, as it is the case with the National Youth Development Agency.
Thank you so much, Chair, and a good day to everyone who's watching and to the candidate. Thank you so much for joining us. I just want to ask a question. I see that you have been involved with the NYDA for quite a long period, and you have a good understanding of what is required. When looking at the NYDA from your own experiences while serving in the NYDA, what were the shortcomings that you came to know while serving in the NYDA, and how exactly would you change them practically should you be appointed to the board?
Okay.
Chair, the question is, in his time serving on the NYDA, in various positions, what were the shortcomings that he came to know about the NYDA in reference to serving young people and any other issues that you might want to bring up? And what would be your recommendation should you be appointed to the NYDA board be practically to turn those matters around?
All right. No, thank you very much. Now, I think experience in the future. I think the NYDA 2009 until 2015, when I left myself, was a fairly new organization, and it faced a number of challenges, part of which were issues of accessibility, particularly to young people in deep rural areas. There were issues of effective controls in terms of the internal systems and processes. There were issues of budget constraints, which still continue to confront the organization. However, I think that over time, some of these issues have been addressed, including issues of access, because there are offices that have since been established in municipalities. The issue of the effective internal controls has been addressed, to a point where the NYDA has been meeting most of its performance indicators. It has also been recording a number of clean audits, which is commendable. However, Chair, upon leaving there, I then realized that the agency has not fully utilized the policy or legislative instruments that it has within its disposal, which can assist it to be able to have greater impact. Point where I think the NYDA has been for some time very inward looking, in a sense that it has been concerned with only utilizing the limited budget that it has been allocated without going out to donors and fundraise, because Chair, Section 18 of the NYDA Act on funding as well as investments, it empowers the National Youth Development Agency to make investments and accrue interest on those investments. It also empowers the NYDA to be able to raise funds from other sources of income. And if that instrument has been utilized to its optimum, we would not be having a situation where we perpetually hear calls for government to capitalize the NYDA more than it already has. There's about less than 400 million that has been given to the NYDA. Of course, it's not enough considering the magnitude of the mandate. But there are other policy instruments that allow the NYDA to go out and raise funds in order for it to supplement the works and the programs that it intends to roll out to young people. And another issue, Chair, is that the reality is that jobs are in short supply. Government is looking at reducing the salary bill. Private sector companies are also cutting employment. And therefore, we need to promote entrepreneurship. Government has got within itself the power to effect radical economic change and participation of young people. Annually, government spends over 500 billion in procurement of services and goods. Now, the preferential procurement bill, the amended one, which was published, seek to redress that. The one that was published for comments, Chair. Yes. That bill seeks to ensure that government utilizes its power through supply chain and public procurement to ensure that it favors previously disadvantaged groupings. Now, the NYDA has not taken a lead in that particular debate because the reality is that part of the preferential procurement bill must be able to speak to issues of set-aside to ensure that youth-owned businesses are given preference in terms of public procurement because channels that will ensure that young people participate in the economic mainstream of this country. Because the current legislation prohibits companies that do not have experience from tendering. If you know the tendering process, you would know that if you don't have enough years of experience, already you are at a disadvantage. If you don't have enough reference letters, you are at a disadvantage. If you can't provide, you are at a disadvantage. As a new youth-owned company, where do you get all of those? If you are thrown into the jungle to compete with big businesses that have been in the sector for a very long time. And therefore, set aside. Sorry, Chair. No, this is different, Chair, because it speaks to public procurement. IDC is a development funding agency which funds businesses. But public procurement is where government procures goods and services, whether it's printing, whether it's consumables in the office, whether it's stationery. There are tenders that are advertised on a daily basis. But those tenders, because there are no set-asides for youth-owned businesses, they close out youth-owned businesses. And therefore, there must be provision for exempted micro-enterprises, enterprises that turn over below 10 million, for instance, to say this tender is only closed to exempted micro-enterprises so that they themselves, so that they're not disadvantaged by big companies that have got experience and capacity.
Thank you very much, Mr. Makadla. It cannot be correct that you make another follow-up because already I have taken more minutes for this one. You made a follow-up and I made a follow-up. So his 45 minutes is going to be very little. So other members also, they'll want to ask him questions. You ask one, and I ask one, but also remember, it's 45 minutes. Sorry? You did follow up. You are not following up. Oh, I thought it was Masiko's question. Yeah.
I think we are allocated a timeline as members for our questions and the answers from the candidate. It's 5 minutes and answers 2 minutes. So if the minutes are completed or finished, we cannot continue with our questions, because really we are going to do injustice to other members. They will not have chance to ask their questions because the candidate has got only 45 minutes. So I think maybe we must stick to our time limit. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. In fact, we've taken 10 minutes in this one question. Oh. Okay, Honorable Mamkaula.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, sir. Ngibonga, Chairperson. Ngibingelele. Ngikhonisha magazi. Engijabulela kwena ukuthi ube waba yingxenye kule bhodi yaka-NYDA from 2007 to 2015. Owami-ke umbuzo ukuthi lana phansi ney'khathi zokuthi i-NYDA khona kade yalona. Kodwa futhi indawo qhinisa kungama-ofisi kuphela angithabantu njengokuthi nje into eningi but ayina indlela yokuhlukana ukuthi ngoba isikhathi nje intsha iphasha manje abantu bayafa left and right, abanye bayahlukumezeka even emapulazini, nakhona kuney'ngane othole intsha kuthi igcine siyayifaka emapulazini gcine yini wena ozosenzela yona la isiqiniseko ukuthi no mina ma ngenaoti ngizokwenza shoko ukuthi abantu intsha la e-South Africa izoyeka sakutshala enye In fact, she has taken 1 minute, but I left her because, you know, when you relate things in Zulu and English, it's different.
Okay. No, thanks a lot for the question, Mamkaula Njabulela. I think in introduction, I related to the fact that for some time now, the National Youth Development Agency has been inward looking. It has not utilized the legislative instruments that it's supposed to be utilizing in order for it to raise funds. And I agree, Mamkaula, that as much as the NYDA has established a number of offices, some of them in municipalities, some of those offices do not have the financial or the human resource capacity to assist young people. And this is attributed to Indaba Yemali, that there's only less than 500 million allocated to the NYDA. And the point I was making was that it cannot be that we only look to government for financial intervention, because the Act of the NYDA, Section 18, empowers the NYDA to raise funding from other sources so that it can be able to carry out its mandate. For the NYDA to do that, it needs to subscribe to the principles I spoke to earlier, as articulated in terms of good corporate governance. There must be good performance, there must be effective controls, there must be legitimacy. Because if you lack legitimacy, there's no one who will even give you the funds that you require. So part of what I think I will contribute, if I'm considered for the board, is to make sure that we uphold those good principles of corporate governance. Because now I'm sitting from outside, and I've got the benefit of the experience of being an entrepreneur or a business person myself. I'm no longer sitting at the comfort of knowing that I've got a guaranteed salary. And therefore, I've come face to face with the challenges that affect entrepreneurs. And you are correct, Mam Kaula. We need to promote entrepreneurship in the country. If, for instance, you look at the latest Late Valley Quarter Survey by Start South Africa, it says that of the 8.7 million people who lost jobs between January and June, over 55% of those do not even have matric. So we need to have interventions for those, because they are not going to be able to be employed. And therefore, we need to look at sectors that can absorb loads in that or that have only got matric. And some of the sectors that we need to look into is issues of agriculture, including the cooperatives that you were relating to. Because the young people who are sitting in villages, they do not want urban areas, and therefore they must be given land and assisted with farming. And we need to raise awareness around the importance of farming, because one of the things that COVID-19 has exposed is the fact that food security is one of the most critical elements of survival. And therefore, young people need to be involved in food production to ensure food security. And it's only through agriculture that they can be able to participate in ensuring food security. Currently, the market is commercialized.
Thank you very much. You're answering a very interesting question, and it's only that time does not permit us. Honorable Maluleka.
Yes. Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Mr. Magadla. I've listened to your response to Honorable Pitti and Mama Kaula in terms of your experiences. In the Umsobomvu Youth Fund, the National Youth Commission and the NYDA. And I thought that you have responded in all the issues. For example, I will say the SWOT analysis, the shortcomings, that is the weaknesses, the strengths, the opportunities, and also the threats. But however, the one say to you, the Constitution is the supreme law of the Republic of South Africa. That guides all its citizens. So, Mr. Magadla, what it means to you as a South African citizen and a young person in South Africa, invested, recommended and appointed to the NYDA board to achieve good governance, what it means to you to make sure that achieve good governance to the issues that you have indicated, first in your introduction and also responding to the question from Honorable Mpiti. Thank you so much.
just clarity, Chair. What the
what it means to you to make sure that if you are recommended and appointed, how do you then make sure that you achieve good governance?
Okay. I think, Chair, one, as I've indicated, you need to obviously acquaint yourself with the functions of the organization in which you are serving. And you need to uphold values of ethical leadership. Now, one of the principles that is established by the NYGA Act, Section 4, which speaks to the principles, it speaks to issues of accountability. It speaks to accessibility. It speaks to openness. Now, that is also the principles as espoused by, for instance, the Constitution, because the Constitution also speaks about ethics and the ability to uphold high moral responsibilities as a citizen of the country, with the responsibility to participate in the development of the country. But also, one of the guiding principles of organizations in order to ensure they achieve corporate governance is that they are guided by the Public Finance Management Act. And the Public Finance Management Act is a guideline to accounting officers in terms of what to do and what not to do in order to ensure that we achieve good corporate governance. Because ours as the board is to provide oversight in terms of the operations of the organization. It is to ensure that at all material times, we have got the best interest of the organization and to ensure that it achieves its statutory obligation. And if we understand that, we'll be able to carry through our mandate with ease. And we will be able, Chair, to achieve this question of legitimacy. Because it's the one that ensures that you work well with stakeholders, you are able to achieve partnerships, you are able to raise funds that will assist you in undertaking a broad mandate, because there's millions of young people who are looking to the NYGA for them to improve their lives, and we don't have enough time. Otherwise, if we don't move with speed and implement practical programs, we're going to face, without being alarmists, a social revolution, because young people are becoming impatient. We need to be practical. Policies are there. Institutions are there. We need effective leadership, which is results-driven, which is capacitated and understands both.
If I may make a follow-up question, you know, as you were answering the question, you have Honorable Mgweva and Dengama Mkaula, one thing that came to my mind is, South Africa, kunabantu abasha abaningi abangatholanga ithuba lokuya esikolweni ingoba ama-circumstances abaphila kuwona from their families awabavumelanga. Kanti-ke uma ubheka i-NYDA ubheke futhi nabantu ngale ndlela abakhulume ngakhona uma kwenziwe i-shortlisting, bebathatha ukuthi mhlambe abantu ababalulekile kakhulu, abantu abafundile, laba bantu bona abangafundanga, abangabantu abasha, uMamkhawula akhala ngabo every day, athi abanye bakhona bangena kuzidakamiswa. Kuyo yonke le nto boyisho, bona bafitha kuphi? Bona bafitha kuphi? Kuwo wonke le mibuzo obizwe from kumamasiko, ubaba uMphithi, uMamkhawula, kubo uma ukhuluma nge-business, ukhuluma isiGreek. Ngoba abakaze balithole lelo thubo okokuqala nje. And ngoba abakazi bayibone kwa ekhaya into ekuthiwa i-business or into ekuthiwa kune-surplus yemali ekhaya baphile enhluphekweni for isikhathi eside. So ngalendlela abanye abantu babuka ngakhona NYDA, mina namanye amalungu cabanga ukuthi bacabangela abantu abafundile nabantu abanokuthile, abantu laba abanganalungu esikhuluma ngabo. Cabanga ukuthi wena u-right block or cabanga ukuthi masofakiwe laphana ku-board uzobabhekela kanjani?
So I think what you are raising is important, and it speaks to the fact that we need to understand and appreciate the fact that young people are not a homogeneous group, as you are saying. There are those that are educated, there are those that are not educated, and there are those that are in business. So in designing your interventions, you need to take into consideration some of those issues. Now, as I indicated that according to the labor force survey, 8.1 million people lost their jobs between January and June because of COVID. Just over 55% of those do not have matric. So it's the young people included in that category. Now, the functions of the NYDA, amongst others, speaks to the issues of the National Youth Service. And our understanding of the National Youth Service is that it seeks to empower young people with skills as they undertake a service in the which assists them to build level of patriotism, to contribute to nation building, but acquire skills in the process that they can be able to utilize. But National Youth Service on its own is not enough. It must have exit opportunities. And in designing those programs for young people who do not have matric, you must be able to make sure that you equip them with a number of skills that they can use on a daily basis. You can train them as carpenters, plumbers, electricians, because on a daily basis, a household requires the services of a handy person. And therefore, if you equip them with those skills, they will then be able to have a livelihood that will empower them and give them some social capital and social mobility because you've given them that particular skill. But the second issue to share is that we need to invest in areas like special economic zones, because special economic zones have been proven to absorb low and unskilled labor because of the nature of the activities that are taking place there. One, you attract a foreign direct investment, you increase opportunities for import and export, but in the process, you create employment because you attract foreign companies to come and operate in those special economic zones. In the process, they create opportunities for young people who are unskilled and who do not have the necessary qualifications for them to be absorbed in other forms of formal employment.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Bab Makar, when you responded to some of the questions, I heard you talking about the good work that the previous board has done. You talked about the accessibility. But there's this problem that there are satellite offices which are in the municipalities. But then my question to you is to be, some of these satellite offices, they are not accessible to people who are in the deep rural areas. What is it that you can do if you are given an opportunity to serve in the board to ensure that NYDA is visible even in deep rural areas, especially during this COVID-19? Because some of the things, they are not easily done, no mass gathering, and no physical contact. What is it that you can do to ensure that a young person in Mulege access the benefit or whatever product or project NYDA has? Thank you, Chair.
All right. Thank you very much. I'll answer that twofold. One, in interaction, there's local municipalities in all the localities in our communities, and therefore offices of the NYGA still need to have presence there. They should not only be in districts. Local offices, there should be offices there. Now, the second issue is that one of the biggest challenges that is facing young people is access to data services, so that they can go online and search and access information. Now, one of the things that we need to in fact, the NYDA is empowered, by the way. Section 3 of the Act that establishes the NYDA gives it a number of objects to promote uniformity of approach, to design, initiate programs, to promote coordination amongst government organs, civil society, and so on. And I think, like I said, the NYDA has not used these instruments to even hold government accountable. There's been a debate about the release of spectrum by the Department of Postal Services and Communications, as well as ICASA, which would make it easy for young people to gain access to data services. As you are saying, ma'am, that we cannot gather now in groups. So we've migrated to online services, but young people still have a challenge of not being able to access due to high data costs. Now, we need to immediately deal with the issue of releasing of spectrum, which will ensure that data is available in rural areas. But also there's increased competition amongst the big players in the telecommunications industry. The other thing is that the NYDA needs to fundraise and raise resources to make sure that it deploys mobile offices in the form of vans that will be equipped with the necessary equipment so that it goes to these areas where they can have offices to interact directly with young people. At least a mobile van is something that can move from one place to the other as opposed to a physical office.
NYDA, ngoba uma NYDA uzazicabanga le yabo social development.
No. Okay, no, that's fine. So as you correctly put it, honourable member, so one of the, in fact, I think just post 94, there was a debate about whether to have a youth ministry or to go the youth commission route and so on. And the youth commission route was opted for because of having identified that government needs to have a two-pronged approach to youth development. One, to integrate youth development across sectors of society, including government. And the second one is to implement direct programs that impact on the lives of young people. And now, I was also saying earlier that optimally, the agency has not utilized the enabling act that is there. Because part of what we need to do is to hold government departments accountable. They implement programs and they are able to report on those quantitatively and qualitatively. They must be able to demonstrate that they've undertaken interventions. The NYDA Act, in its current form, it's very broad and it gives the NYDA sufficient powers to do all of these things. Now, there are two interventions that I'm thinking about that government has introduced. There's the tax incentive that National Treasury gives to companies for them to employ young people who are unskilled. And the Integrated Youth Development Strategy has given the NYDA powers to evaluate the effectiveness of that tax incentive scheme, whether it has assisted young people to enter into gainful employment. I'm not sure to what extent has that monitoring been done. The second one is that government has introduced the skills development levy, which is monies that are paid by companies that have got a payroll of over 50 million. They pay this to sector education and training authorities. For them, they take skills development programs and train young people. But I do not think that the NYDA, by the time I was there, there was no forum where the NYDA sits with sitters and then engage them to say, you get money from the skills development levy, to what extent do you utilize this money? What training programs are you undertaking with young people? And what is the success rate of these training programs that you are doing? Therefore, there's a need for that coordination, which in the main was one of the reasons why we opted for the route of an agency as opposed to a ministry, because youth development imperatives, they sit across all the functions of government. What you need to do is to have forums where you hold government departments accountable, where you hold state-owned enterprises accountable for the work that they are supposed to do in the development of the lives of young people.
You know, while you were answering, and Honorable Ntshavheleng was asking you a question, I wanted to check with you in terms of policy frameworks that government is using. Which, in your own view, and the manner in which NYDA is operating, do you think they've met... have they implemented what the NDP says in terms of youth?
The NYDA.
Yeah.
So, I think.
But also, we can understand with your own understanding also. You see, the Department of Women, Youth, and Persons with Disabilities. They are dealing with youth issues. So in your own understanding, or your own view, what do you think should be a working relationship, NYDA and the Department of Women? Because I think somewhere there's a gap that we see as honorable members. But I want to get from you, which were not, have you ever assessed, how can they forge a working relationship in terms of even crafting their programs for young people?
So my understanding is that the National Youth Development Agency reports directly to the Ministry of Women, Youth, and Persons with Disabilities. I would find it as an anomaly if there was a disjuncture or lack of cooperation or coordination in terms of the work that they do. Because I believe that there should be ongoing cooperation between the two in light of the fact that the agency reports directly to the minister. So I honestly would be surprised if there's no cooperation in that regard. But one of the things that we've always advocated for at a broader government level now has been that there must be what you call an interdepartmental committee on youth affairs, where the NYDA sits and meets with all the departments, including the Department of Women, Children and Persons with Disabilities, in order to understand how they are developing their programs that target young people, and to guide them in terms of how they should align, for instance, with the NDP. Because the National Youth Policy, the Integrated Youth Development Strategy, they all derive their existence. You find that there's interdependability there. They speak about broad issues, economic participation, its social cohesion and national service, its health being. So whatever it is that is pronounced in the NDP, it's also pronounced in the National Youth Policy. And the role of the NYDA, therefore, is to develop guidelines to implement the National Youth Policy. And the National Youth Policy ought to be implemented. It's not a document of the NYDA. It's a document that gives directive to all governments. It gives directives to private sector and therefore the integrated youth development strategy then becomes a tool for the implementation of the National Youth Policy, but not only implemented by the NYDA, because it would not be able to. It must be implemented by all organs of society, with the NYDA playing a coordination, mainstreaming, as well as monitoring role.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mr. Makala. There are no further questions. I think we're done. The time is up. Is there anything that you want to ask the honourable members?
No. But a comment, if I may.
Yeah, you can comment.
Okay. No, thank you very much. I think, Chair, in light of what is happening currently, I think the COVID-19 has exposed us, or it has given us an opportunity, perhaps, to reset or to press the reset button in terms of how we do things differently. And we need to ensure that in everything that we do, we begin to embrace issues of technology. But entrepreneurship, Chair, is the future, because there are no jobs. We need to ensure that we invest in entrepreneurs. There is the sector that is often neglected, the informal sector. And most of entrepreneurs in that sector have been driven out of business because of competition from other people with better expertise in terms of business. Now, we need to assist that sector. Bulk buying, warehousing, distribution, packaging, quality controls, and all of that, so that they are able to stay in business and not be driven away by people who've got a better access to entrepreneurship. Another element, the last one, is that we need to infuse entrepreneurship education in our curriculum in schools, so that young people at a very young age, they begin to understand that we do not go to school to seek employment, which is in short supply, but we must be able to go into the sector and create our own job opportunities. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Makala.